Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the show, everybody. This is Karina. I am the producer and host of Adventures of a Mom Patriot Talk Show. We got a great show lined up for you today. It's the young people that started Knitting Hope, and I'm waiting for them to call in, and there they are. While we get connected, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you for having us.
Sure. I was so excited to meet you guys at the Unity in Action event and also to run into you at the free movie that your husband so graciously gave us tickets to. And I just have to tell you that your children are just a blessing and so much fun to talk to.
Well, thank you. I am truly a blessed mom.
Well, I just want to do a few announcements before we get started. I want to encourage everybody to follow us on Facebook. If you go to Adventures of Mom Patriot Talk Show, it's facebook.com/ Adventures of a Mom Patriot. We list all of our shows on there and so that the podcast will be available in one spot. And we also list the websites that we talk about on the show so that you don't have to furiously scramble for a pen and a piece of paper while we're talking. I want to let you introduce yourself and let us know exactly. I ask all my guests how you came about getting active in your community and what drove you to make a difference in your community by the project that you're working on. And the project is Knitting Hope, and it's a really neat idea.
Well, Knitting Hope started, my name is Laura, by the way, and this started with my daughters, Sierra and Allison. They really were looking to do some sort of outreach in our community, and because of their age, they really weren't able to find a lot that they can volunteer and do. And in the meantime, we were visiting an aunt who was making hats for babies, and the girl showed an interest in that. And we actually have cancer survivors in our family, and when they saw the hats, they thought, what a great idea, what a way to really bless somebody, that even that simple thing as a hat and somebody that's going through such a struggle could really use something like that to just encourage them and know that people are praying for them and thinking about them every day. So Aunt Barb taught us how to make the hats, and it's really, we started in August, and since August we've already been able to donate well over 200 hats to a local hospital, and thanks graciously to a member of our church who works for the hospital that's gotten us in touch with the appropriate people, and it's really growing. It started with just my girls, and then now my mother's making hats, and we have several ladies in the church making hats. I have a youth group, teen girls, and a couple of young men, actually, that have decided they want to do this as well. And it's really taken off in just a couple of months that we've been going. I'm just shocked at how much people want to participate and help and really just bless someone. So.
Well, and knitting is almost kind of like a therapy, too. I mean, when I was watching your girls at the conference, just sitting there and using the loom, it struck my interest, and it's neat to see young people that are so inspired by helping others too. And I think that says a lot for you and Brandon as parents.
Thank you, I appreciate that. And I'd like to take credit, but really, like I said before, I'm just so blessed that I have kids with a giving heart. And, you know, kindness is contagious, so they show a little bit of kindness, and other people want to show that kindness, and it really just grows from there.
And it's a great way for young people to invest in themselves in their community and to be like you said, a giving heart to others. And the hats are really cute, too.
And the best thing is they're such individuals. Every hat we make, even if they come from the same batch of yarn, sometimes they look just completely different. And I actually recently received a letter from Lakeland Regional Cancer Center thanking us for our contribution. But more importantly, and this was the best part of the letter, and I'd like to read that to you real quick. It'll just take a second here. It says, "It always puts a smile on my face when I see patients wearing your caps with pride. They enjoy having so many colors to choose from and always seem to find the perfect one for their needs." So they're, you know, we look at them and some of them we don't even care for, but I'm like, you know what? Someone's going to love this hat and it's going to mean something to them that someone thought a little bit about them today and wanted to just bless them.
That's true. I mean, and that's therapy in itself too, and knowing that, right, knowing that someone cares enough to take the time. How long does it take to make each hat approximately, do you know?
Well, we can make a baby hat in approximately an hour. The adult hats take an hour and a half to 2 hours, depending on what kind of yarn we use and if we add decorations and things like that. Sometimes we add a flower or, you know, a bow or something special to it. It may take a little bit longer.
Well, that inspires their creativity, too. That's neat.
Oh, absolutely. I love to watch them go through and pick the colors and kind of put them together and see what they come up with. It's really been just such a pleasure to watch, and I've enjoyed every minute of it with these girls.
Well, and they're inspiring their friends, too, so it's kind of like a pay-it-forward thing and inspiring the youth in your church and potentially the community. Because you're a homeschool mom, correct?
That's correct.
Awesome. And how many kids do you actually have?
We actually have 5 children between the two of us. I have 2 stepchildren, and one is in college, and 3 that I homeschool here at home. I have Sierra, who's 15, and Allison, 11, and Jacob, who's a senior, and he's 17.
That's awesome. Now, is Sierra available to say a few words or let us know what her mindset was when she was looking for something to do in her community?
Sure, absolutely. I'd love for you to speak to her.
Okay.
Hello, ma'am. How are you?
I'm fine, Sierra. How are you doing?
I'm doing good.
Thank you for being on the show today. I really appreciate it.
Well, thank you for having us.
What I would like for you to do, because I'd like to share this podcast later with some other youth groups and some homeschool groups, is maybe speak to what inspired you to get involved and what inspires you about this project, that Knitting Hope, that you would like other kids to know about.
Well, it kind of started with my aunt who had cancer, and then I had a great-grandmother who had cancer, and my grandma had cancer, and I was actually little when she had this cancer, so I saw the process. And I've always had a burden for cancer really in my heart, but I think to realize now that we can't really heal these people, we don't have that ability, but to give them, you know, the little bit of hope, to put a smile on their face for the moment, even through this pain, just, you know, being 15, being able to do that is really important to me.
That's terrific. And I really appreciate that you take the time out of your day, too, to make someone else's life a little bit more special by offering a gift from your heart and with your time and efforts.
Yes, ma'am. Well, I think, you know, just a little bit of time and a little bit of effort can go a long way and kind of create a domino effect in the end.
Now, are you guys planning any fundraisers to help you with the purchase of yarn or anything like that?
We don't have a whole lot of huge fundraisers planned. We might do a few through our church to start, but I know we're going to start planning some coming up, because around Christmas time we want to take a visit down to one of the children's hospitals and try to do something like presents and things down there with them. But we also have through my dad's site where you can donate at theglobaldispatch.com and then /knitting-hope/.
Terrific. And I will definitely put that website up on our Facebook page. It's facebook.com/Adventures of a Mom Patriot, and I'll definitely hopefully send some people your way with a few extra dollars. Do you know approximately how much each hat costs, or does it depend on how much the yarn is at the time?
Usually it costs around $2 to make a hat.
Okay, that's good to know. So if anybody wants to skip your Starbucks coffee, you'll be making a donation towards making a special memory for someone that's not feeling well at the time.
Yes, definitely.
Are there any other activities that you are doing in your youth group that you would like to mention and maybe inspire young people to get involved with?
This is a really major part right now, but also just in our church, we're starting in our girl teen class. We wanted to start doing little skits and stuff, kind of, to show people, you know, the impact that we can have in others' lives, but also the impact God has in our lives every day.
That's a great idea.
Also, yes, ma'am, we have an event coming up in a couple weeks on November 9th. It's called Girls of Grace, where they have Christian artists that go, but they also have speakers that come, and it's where girls can go and talk about, you know, beauty and dating and all other things that are important for teens. So we're doing a fundraiser, a car wash, tomorrow, actually, to raise money for that.
That's awesome. Where's the car wash going to be held?
It's at our church, East Point Assembly of God in Sefner, and it's from 8 to 12.
Okay. I'll get the links for those and put those up, too. So if anybody wants to go by and get your car cleaned and support this great project, a great group of kids that are really getting active in your community at a young age, that's very inspiring. So is there anything else that you would like to let our listeners know about how you feel it's important to get involved in your community?
I would just like to say that, you know, we feel like we're young now and we can't really do much, but, you know, we're the next adults and the next leaders in our community. And if we don't start now, then when we get to the situation, then things are going to get really difficult. And that we could also have an impact on other people, even if we don't think to do the little things really matter in people's lives.
Oh, that's such an inspiring point. And I'm so glad that you said that. My show for the past year and a half, I've tried to encourage people just to get out into their neighborhoods and get to know their neighbors, and, you know, even offering a helping hand or knowing it may be a neighbor that might be elderly, you know, with the storms that sometimes go through in Florida, you'll be able to know a potential neighbor that might need help or something like that, and it's basically connecting with your community and building relationships beyond the computer and the TV.
Yes, ma'am. It's the little things that we do that people remember us by.
That's very true. Well, I appreciate you saying a few words. And if your mom would like to get back on the call, I probably could pester her with a few more questions as well, unless you have something else you'd like to let our listeners know.
Okay, well, I think that's it, but thank you so much.
You're welcome, hon.
Well, I can't thank you enough for having us on and just allowing us this opportunity. It's such a big deal, and, you know, we've tried to teach our children that even though people say, you guys, this generation's so lazy and this and that, you know, they really can show what Jesus intended us to do, and that's to love people. And it's so important that we step out of our comfort zone and we really show people that love.
I agree, totally. And with, you know, with all the politics and the fighting and the garbage that's going on, what I've not sure if you've noticed this, but when I'm out in the public and especially when I'm driving well, I'm seeing a breakdown of civility.
Oh, absolutely.
People, oh, my gosh. People are so frustrated. And, I mean, it's almost like you can see it in their eyes.
Yeah, I think sometimes we feel hopeless, and that's something I hope this little bit of, you know, just kindness will show people that it isn't a hopeless situation, that we can turn our world around, and it just takes a little bit of love.
Absolutely. And you know, reaching out, and what I love so much about meeting you and your children, too, is that I'm a pretty outgoing person. My 16-year-old, not so much. My 10-year-old is, she's me cloned. So I'm always, you know, willing to start a conversation with total strangers, which was kind of confusing for my son when he was 5, and he's 24 now. He's like, Mom, you tell me not to talk to strangers, but yet you talk to everyone. And I'm like, that's because I'm a mom and I'm allowed to.
Right.
But it's almost when you strike up a conversation lately with people, and I've seen this actually happening over the past couple of years, they're almost initially wary of why you're talking to them.
Right. What are your intentions? Yeah.
And offering a few words of kindness, or I really like the mantra of paying it forward, you know, and just finding little ways that you can help your neighbors or get to know your neighbors. And it's almost an inspiration to my heart to be able to talk to people and hopefully, you know, make their day a little bit brighter if they aren't completely annoyed with me saying hi to them.
Right. And I think that's important. You know, I've taught the kids, you know, you go into a store and you go through somebody's line and they're upset or grumpy. And if we react back to that, then what are we showing? You know, maybe the 5 people before them have been so rude. And if we can just be a little kind and, you know, tell them to have a blessed day and you know, try to encourage them, that can make the biggest difference in the world.
One of my favorite things to do, it may be considered a little mean, but when I'm at the store and I get excellent customer service, what I like to do is ask for the manager when I get up to the counter, and then, you know, I get the inevitable "uh-oh, what did we do" thing, and the manager's walking up with a look on their face like, "Oh, please don't yell at me again," and just saying a few. And, you know, kind words about someone that has done some excellent customer service cost me nothing. And you know, it's a pat on the back for someone that has taken the time, extra time, to make my shopping trip or whatever a little bit more special. And I think if we encourage people to, now I complain if there's an issue too, but I much prefer to tell the manager that someone done a great job than, you know, making a point about not so great service.
Right, I agree. They need to know both sides. And if there's something wonderful that's happened, they should know. You know, the people deserve to be encouraged for their, you know, for a positive experience, for sure.
Right. Well, and I found out recently that Publix, they actually have a special program, and for every employee that gets some kind of positive customer feedback, it goes into their file, and they get rewarded in a way. And so once I found that out, I'm constantly looking for ways for the employees to, you know, make a good impression on me so I can brag on them.
Oh, yeah. My son works for Publix, and he's had that experience. I'm proud to say that, you know, someone has said, you know, he went the extra mile for me, he walked me out in the rain, or whatever the case was, and they do reward them for that, and I think that's a great experience, because there's a lot of negative they face every day in the workplace, so to have a little bit of positive, I think, is a wonderful thing.
Definitely, and there's so much that we can't do about the politicians and the politics.
Right.
But making our community, trying to lift the spirits of our community in positive ways will not only build our hearts, you know, with joy, but hopefully bring some joy to someone else, too.
That's so true. Yeah, I agree.
And I forgot to give the warning to my household that I was live on the air. So what you just heard in the background was a 10-year-old chasing a kitten down the hallway, if you heard that.
I understand. We had to lock ourselves in the room to keep the bird and the dogs away because they're so loud. So we understand completely.
That's terrific.
Well, I'm
now,
so grateful you took the time with us, and I just can't thank you enough. This is so important just to let people know that there's other people out there that care and they want to make a difference for people that are hurting and going through trials, and that's really the message that we want to put out there.
Yes, and let's repeat the website one more time. It's www.theglobaldispatch.com/knitting-hope. Right, and you have a couple of Bible verses on here, and I would like to read them because they really touched my heart. And when it says creating hats for newborns. You've posted, "For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well." And that's Psalms 139:13-14.
Correct.
And the verse that you chose for the hats for cancer patients and other adults, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." And that's Romans 8:18. And I think those are perfect.
Well, that we came by those verses, we pondered them, and I got with my girls, and I said, you know, we really need to think about, you know, what verse can make a difference to somebody that's suffering, or to a mom holding their newborn. You know, how can we do that? And God just really guides our steps. And we really didn't know what to do, and we needed to order our cards. And one morning I got up, and every morning I get a verse sent to my phone. And the verse was Romans 8:18. And I read that, and it brought tears to my eyes, and I showed the girls, and I said, this is the verse. And I think that God just, you know, in his perfect timing has led us to what we need. And I think it really fits for what people go through. They don't realize what God really has planned for them.
That's true. And for some of us, because I've always been a little strong-willed, just ask anybody that knows me, sometimes that's a little difficult to let God, be in control in your life.
Absolutely.
You tend to go, I got it, I can handle it. And then, you know, a few lessons later, you're like, okay, I get it. You can have it. You know?
Right. As moms, we like to be in control of things. You know, we want things to go a certain way. And that's been a hard lesson for me, and I hope that my girls can see through me that you do have to eventually let go and just let God have control of things. And he will guide your steps and lead you to where you need to be, and there's nothing to be afraid of. He has a bigger plan than we can imagine.
And I've noticed too, when I get to that point, I mean, it's a continual struggle. I mean, I'm 45 years old, and I still flash back to the self-reliance. I got it. I can handle it. But once I get a few more lessons under my belt and let it go, so many blessings come my way. So many new friends. So many new opportunities. And you know, like I said, for those of us that are raised very self-reliant, or even though I was raised in the church, it's almost a continual struggle.
Oh, absolutely. I think that's human nature, is that we want to just, fix it and take care of things. And it's a hard lesson, and hopefully it's a lesson we can instill in our children and the next generation, just to give over that control and just be willing to listen to what his plan is for you.
True. Do you have any tips or suggestions for moms of homeschool kids on getting their kids involved, or just guiding them in figuring out what's in their heart and how they can get engaged in their community?
Well, I think it starts with your kids. Find out what their real interest is. And, you know, if they love animals, find a way to get them involved with going to Humane Society. They need people just to go in and love on these animals that need attention. If that's their heart, then find a way to do that. And you can bless so many people by taking over a role for them where they don't have to fill in that spot. You know, if they have a soft spot for children, some of the schools need older children to read with the younger children because they're falling behind and they need someone just to sit there and listen. There's so many ways to get involved in your community. Sometimes there's barriers with age and things like that, but just like our situation, we fall into a fantastic opportunity for our kids, and you just have to pray on it. Know your children well, and also find a way to volunteer yourself. When your kids see that you want to do stuff within your community and you want to help people, they're going to be encouraged to do the same thing.
That's true. And I think a lot of that these days, because so many parents are with the economy and they're frustrated, they lose sight that we're examples to our children, and that if we're engaged in our community or if we're engaged in a project, that inspires them to understand that it's important to be engaged in even with whatever project that they would like to be involved with. Now, I really like that idea about the animal shelters and especially the idea about reading to children. Now, do you have any experience with getting teenagers into public school environments to read to the children? Or do you have any, you know, ideas or suggestions about how you would be able to do that?
You should really contact the school closest to you directly. Some of the elementary schools have programs. I know there's an after school program called HOST, where they have as young as 16, they actually pay these kids. It's not even a volunteer situation, but you can get a job where you're working with younger children and you're helping them with their homework and you're just encouraging them. You're taking them out and, you know, you play ball with them in the schoolyard and things like that. You can also call and ask if they do have a reader buddy program where you can go in and read with them. Also, you can contact the local libraries. They have programs where they need folks to come in and read with the children. Especially the ones that start to fall behind, we need to encourage them to read. And, you know, it helps with their education and it helps them to just move on and move forward. And I think it's important that we have people that are there to encourage them. And coming from someone that's closer to their age, it doesn't feel like the pressure of a parent telling me you have to do this. It really becomes fun and entertaining, and they really want to succeed then.
Oh yeah, it's positive peer. It's positive. What's the word I'm looking for? It's peer engagement, and not only that, when your child is reading to another child, and they're more into, and the book actually makes more of an impact on them because they're reading to someone else as well, or learning the topic better. I know when my son. I homeschooled, but my son was in first grade public school, and the teacher was just amazing. And she identified that my son was so far ahead that she kind of used him as a buddy to some of the kids that were, you know, struggling and needing help. So by using him to mentor, peer mentoring,
right,
his kids his age, not only was he learning the topic more in depth because he was having to explain it to his friends, it was empowering to him on a self-esteem level as well.
Absolutely. Sierra actually went through a similar experience herself, and she was a very shy child up until about second grade. They were actually in the public school system at that time, and she found a teacher that really saw in her you know, a kind heart that could help other children, and they encouraged her to be a tutor, and that made a huge difference in bringing her out of her shell and the way that she interacted with other students. And it made a difference for those kids because she was kind and there wasn't pressure and all these things. It really does change their outlook on things, not just the child that they're helping.
That's true.
Yeah.
Well, do you have any upcoming events that you would like to announce?
We are actually just getting started on our, you know, the Christmas season and getting some ideas for what we're going to do. I know that we will be making approximately 70 hats and blankets for a county-run center for the physically challenged. We actually, again, God guiding your steps, we bumped into them in a when I was getting one of the girls' haircut, and they had several of the people from the home there, and we got to talking to one of their caregivers, and she said it would be such a blessing, you know, for them to have something, if it's a hat or a blanket or you know, anything, just to show that people care about them, because they're a lot of times they're left there with no family interaction or anything like that. So that's something we have coming up, and that's going to be probably around Thanksgiving. We're going to be able to go and just, you know, take the girls over there and let them see what it's like, and, you know, hopefully they can interact with them and maybe read with them, whatever it is that this center would like us to do. We will have a car wash tomorrow. We will discuss that a little bit. I know Sierra had shared that with you, and that's at our church at East Point Assembly of God in Sefner, and that's from 8 to noon. And that's to raise money for an event we'll be taking the girls to. It's a sort of a day-long retreat for them. But we have no other fundraisers in the works right now. As far as our hat making goes, we actually had quite a bit of yarn that was left by my grandmother who passed away, and that's been a great legacy for her to leave behind. And I think it's been great for the girls that they were able to use that, you know, something from the family to bless someone else. So, but we're going to run out. It won't be too long before we're out, and we're really going to have to start spending. And if that's what it takes and that's what God wants us to do, then that's what we're going to do. So any help would be so appreciated.
Well, and what I love about this is it's a huge lesson on so many levels, and that's what I love about homeschooling. I mean, living life is a great big lesson, and so teaching your children fiscal responsibility that's greatly lacking in our government right now.
Right.
You know, the reality of, okay, if we want to continue with our passion, that we're going to need to reach out into the community and either ask for donations or figure out a way to work and you know, running that fiscal responsibility and the ability to manage funds is just a huge lesson and another benefit that project.
Oh, absolutely. There's so much to learn, and, you know, even as parents, we're learning so much and just so grateful that we've watched our children grow in this process, and we're blessed that we have a great and supportive church that really, if we say we need, they've found ways to help us, and it's been wonderful. It's just been, you know, you seek out to bless other people, and you find that you're blessed 10 times over by that. And I just can't, you know, it just brings tears to my eyes. It's just such a blessing.
That is true. And you know, in today's society, when so many people are so disappointed or frustrated, just to smile and say hi to someone, or if you notice that someone's distressed, maybe asking, you know, what you can do to help. And even if it's just referring them to an agency or a local church to get help, that, you know, that you've made a difference in that person's life, and they will hopefully, you know, be blessed by it and move upwards in their situation.
Right. And encourage them to be kind to the next person they come across. And I said before that kindness is contagious, and if you can share that, then they can share it to the next person, and it just goes on. It is about paying it forward, and, you know, you said it yourself.
That's true. Well, I really appreciate you being on. If you could please email me any links for fundraising or upcoming events. The Girls Retreat sounds very interesting, and if you want me to share that, I will definitely share that on our Facebook
wall.
And okay, we'll get some more young ladies. It sounds like a great event. So it's going to be, can you review it a little bit more in depth so that our listeners will know more about it?
Girls of Grace is an all-day event. We have, Britt Nicole, Royal Taylor, Point of Grace are some of the musicians that are going to come, and there's lots of speakers. Just encourage these girls, not only in purity, but taking a stand for God, you know, how to walk in their daily life. We talk about the peer pressure that they face and just encourage them to be strong. And we need good, strong women, and that's what we're encouraging them to do.
That's true. And in fact, I'm not sure if you've heard of it. Homemakers for America is a project that it started back in 2005. And the founder of it is Kimberly Fletcher, and that's one of the things that she encourages the homemakers to do is understand that liberty starts in the home and raising up strong women. You know, when people hear the word strong women, it's almost sometimes a negative context, but by strong we mean strong in heart and understanding our responsibilities to the next generation and our
that
community.
That is absolutely right. You know, we're not talking about any kind of women's liberation. It's nothing like that. We're not trying to cause a movement, but we're trying to, it's almost like take back our country by having women that understand family, that understand relationships, that understand purity, that understand, you know, God's plan for them. And that's what we hope our children get out of all this.
Oh, I've got goosebumps. I'm so excited that you guys were able to be on the show today. And I look forward to hearing more about what you guys have planned and encouraging others to get involved with you or start their own project in their town, because we actually have listeners from all over the country. And just be inspired that you may not have a whole lot of money or a whole lot of time, but finding a project that you can get your children engaged in and making a difference in little ways will go a long way.
That's right. Even 10 minutes a day taken out to just, you know, write a letter or, you know, whatever it is, there's a way to encourage somebody in your community.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much. I appreciate you being on, and I'm blessed that we got to run into each other at that conference. And once again, I feel, you know, that it was God's way of blessing me with another friend, and I'm really honored that you were able to come on today.
Well, thank you so much for having me. This is wonderful, and thanks for getting the word out about Knitting Hope.
You're welcome.
All right, have a blessed
night. All right. Thanks, you too. I have a couple of announcements for upcoming events where we've got I recently stepped up as the Libertarian Party of Pinellas County chair. So I mean not chair. Oh my goodness, secretary. Okay, I can't erase that now. Anyway, I stepped up as the secretary for the Libertarian Party of Pinellas County, and we have some upcoming events in Pinellas County. I'd like to encourage people to engage in your community at a civics level if you're able to, and just learn a little bit more about the Libertarian Party. And you could go to, if you're in Florida, it's lpf.org, I believe. Let me check that out. Yes, it is. You can learn about the Libertarian Party in Florida. They've got all kinds of upcoming events and a really huge campaign that I can't talk about, but it's starting next year, and it's pretty exciting. Some of the news from the Libertarian Party of Florida, quite a few of the affiliates were active in the March Against Monsanto last Saturday to encourage our neighbors to get involved with legislation and to learn more about GMOs and what kind of issues that it can cause with your family. In Florida right now, there's legislation currently that has been proposed. It's HB1. That's Harry. Oh my goodness, what's B? Ball one. And I want you to please look it up. It's a legislation for food labeling, and it's called Genetically Engineered Foods. It was presented, it was sponsored by Representative Ray Winkle Vasalinda. We had her on the show a few weeks back. And last time in the 2013 session, she sponsored it, and it wasn't even allowed in committee. So we really need to get Floridians to call their local Florida State House representative and encourage them to make a point that HB1 be at least heard in committee. And then when it gets put into committee, we're going to go into the next phase and start contacting the committee members to get it passed through committee and on the floor to be debated on the legislative floor. We can make a difference in passing legislation. What I want our listeners to understand is that the legislators, every phone call and every personal letter or email, you want to personalize it. Every email and every phone call is tracked. They keep track of it in their office, and they almost weight each letter with a plus 100 for the people that potentially care about that issue but aren't aware of how to get in touch with them. So that's HB1. It's genetically engineered foods. If you want to give a shout-out to Representative Ray Winkle, Ethelinda, and just let her know thank you for being stubborn enough to introduce it again and shout out for getting HB1. I mean, that just takes some timing. So look at the legislation. We want to get it into committee. Contact your Florida State House rep. We also have some local events in Pinellas County. If you live in Pinellas County, tomorrow the Libertarian Party of Pinellas County will have a tent set up at Local Revolt. If you want to go to our Facebook page, just search Libertarian Party of Pinellas County, and you will be able to look up our events. We've got it listed as an event. The Local Revolt is a bunch of local bands that have gotten together, and it's going to be held at the MNREG Center in Largo. And come by the Libertarian Party of Pinellas tent and say hi to us. We're going to have some information about our meeting. The meeting will be held on October 24th. That's a Thursday, and it's going to be held once again at the Daytech Center. And that's in Clearwater. If you know where Quaker Steak and Lube is, the Daytech Center is right behind it. We are going to have, it's going to be a social. We'll have pizza and some refreshments. And then the Citizen Voice Project is going to be presenting their workshop about building a neighborhood coalition and giving some tips on getting out into your neighborhood and activating your neighbors into a coalition to where you can become a citizen lobbyist. And when you do have to contact your representatives, you'll have basically an army of neighbors behind you. And once again, when you contact them and you say, I'm representing 1,000 of my neighbors, you're going to get a whole lot of weight on what your concerns, your issues are. And we're trying to move the neighbors away from the television and into some more community activism or just an understanding of how civics works in our community. And gotta love it when people call in when you're on the show. Whoever just called me, I'll call you back after my show is over. So I want to encourage everybody to check out the Libertarian Party of Florida. Also, if you're outside of Florida, you can go and check out the LP. I believe it's lp.org. And find your local affiliate or look up your state and get connected and learn more about it. We had a great town hall meeting. It wasn't the Libertarian Party, but shout out to Save America Foundation. This week I was honored to be asked to moderate a town hall forum. We had Adrian Wiley, who is running for the governor of Florida. And we had Lucas Reed, who is running for Congress for Congressional District 13, which is pretty much incorporated entirely in Pinellas County. And we had Tony Queso, who is the Libertarian running for State Senate District 20. And we also had a sitting county commissioner, Norm Roche. And these four guys were amazing. We took questions from the audience. They had to fill it out on questions from the attendees, and it was just an inspiration to be able to have these great candidates all in one place and the opportunity for them to address the concerns of the community. So that was greatly appreciated by Save America Foundation. If you'd like to check them out, just do a Google search for Save America Foundation. And they have public forums every month, and they offer very interesting ways to get involved and to be educated on a wide range of issues. Also, Libertarian Party of Pinellas County will be at Circus McGurkus, which I just lost the date. It's the end of this month. If you Google Circus McGurkus, it seems like a really neat, very artistic community event, and we're going to have our tent set up there and connecting with the community and getting the word out about what it means to be a libertarian. What I'm finding inspiring about being involved with the Libertarian Party, I know there's a lot of misconceptions about it, and what I really enjoy are the people that come up and they ask questions about what it means to be a libertarian. And they're inspired because they're truly tired of the R versus D scenario and the false narrative of voting for the lesser of two evils. And so many people that I'm talking to lately are just sick and tired of the political games, and they're basically ready to reboot Congress. In fact, a poll came out recently, and I could have told them without the poll. It's almost in my unscientific poll, I'm running into a good 80 to 90% of everyone that I talk to, and I'm talking man on the street. I'm not talking going into where people are politically engaged and aware of a lot of issues, but just man on the street conversations I'm having with people, they're just frustrated with the elite establishment politicians, and they want to change. And the hashtag break the cycle is a good one to follow if you're online on Twitter, and just break the cycle. It's hashtag break the cycle, and there's a lot of good information that is coming from that. I want to just inspire you to learn a little bit more. If you're hesitant about the Libertarian Party, don't fall for the wasted vote theory. It's just totally not true. And basically what you're doing when you fall for the wasted vote theory, or the, you know, if I don't vote for the lesser of two evils in the so-called establishment parties, it means the evil one will, you know, win. I'm seeing a groundswell of people that are done with these so-called establishment parties and are seeing that they're almost one party now, and being inspired by actually voting for a citizen statesman, a person that works for a living and has chosen to stand up. And running for office is a difficult, difficult, time-consuming, money-draining, emotional thing to do. And to see these candidates that are taking time away from their families and working overtime and making a point to get out to local town halls and traveling the state for, in the case of Adrian Wiley, his crowds are building and building and building, and people are inspired by his message. And with Lucas Overby, he's he's getting a good cross-section of Democrats and Republicans and MPAs and libertarians that are coming and coming to his website and learning more about what his stands are. And if you have a question, just you can send him a tweet. It's at Lucas, L-U-C-A-S underscore Overby, O-V-E-R-B-Y, or find him on Facebook. It's Lucas Overby for Congress. He actually spends a couple of hours or more a day in social media and answering questions. He's committed to reaching out and answering the concerns of his potential constituents once he's elected, too. I mean, and Randy Taylor is running for Florida House District 69. He's somebody that I've had many conversations with and someone that understands his community and has getting out and, you know, these are guys, and Tony Caso is another example, someone that I've known for years, and he's rough and passionate, and boy, I tell you what, if we send him to Tallahassee, you know, he's going to get away with anything up there because he's got the Constitution down, and he is not afraid to take a stand and to fight the political theater and the corruption that is happening in our government on all levels. So these are the type of statesmen that will inspire and encourage us to understand that our voice is heard, and just by getting out into your neighborhood and finding out what your neighbor's concerns are and then communicating those concerns to these candidates, they'll be better candidates, and once they're elected, they'll be better representatives as well. So that's my encouragement of the day. It was so great to have the young people on from Knitting Hope. And please, if you have a few dollars, understand that the Project Knitting Hope is touching people every day. These young people are just amazing. I was so blessed by meeting them on a couple different occasions. They're articulate, they're passionate, and just you can tell by speaking with them how big their hearts are. And, you know, skip a Starbucks coffee or wherever you buy your coffee. Make your coffee at home that day or bring one from home to work or here's an idea, drink something other than coffee and send a few bucks their way. I've listed their link on the Facebook page. Once again, it's Adventures of a Mom Patriot on Facebook. And I look forward to hearing what they're going to be engaged in the future, and I will keep our listeners up to date on what's happening with the inspirational projects that I run across. This isn't all about politics. This show is hopefully to encourage you to find your passion, find what makes you want to jump out of bed in the morning, and reach out to your community. It can be in line at the grocery store. It can be walking your neighborhood that's healthy for you too. And are going to a local event that a candidate will be at so that you can be educated voters and then help pass the word along to your neighbors and get past the corporate-controlled media. I really appreciate all of our listeners, and I want to definitely give a shout-out to everyone that listens to us, whether it's the podcast at a later time or whether you listen live. You're appreciated, and I want to ask you to please spread the word. We're on Twitter. It's at A Mom Patriot. Please follow us on Twitter and feel free to retweet our show announcements. Also, for the Citizen Voice Project, that's That's actually a project that I co-founded with a dear friend, Joanne. And the project is basically travel. We're putting together education events and education materials to teach people how to empower their voice and engage in their community. And with the little bit of time that you may have, and teaching others how to empower your voice in social media and feet on the street. And it's a project that's been in my heart for years now, from all of the trainings that I've gone to and watching groups come in, national groups and statewide groups coming into my community and trying to run certain projects, and it's top down. And my inspiration for Citizen Voice Project is bottom up and taking your neighborhood back. And a great book to read is called The Neighborhood Project, and it's written by Alex Snicker, and Danielle Alexander, and Francisco Rodriguez. I'll put the link up on our Facebook wall and tweet it out so that you can get your hands on the book. It's not a long book to read. It'll inspire you with the knowledge that they gained by working on a campaign and how they were able to magnify their voices by just getting out into their neighborhoods and encouraging others to do the same. It's all about inspiring people to get involved and understanding that we have a voice and not to give up. I understand that the drama and the garbage that is happening, whether it be in your state leadership or in D.C., can be frustrating. It can make you want to go out and back and dig a hole and stick your head in it, but please don't do that. Just get out and talk to others. Talk to the cashier at the grocery store. Have some business cards printed up with, set up an email address that you can use to connect with your neighbors, and have some business cards printed up. And if you want to connect with them, just have them in your back pocket or your purse, whatever you use, and have them available so that you can build coalitions of regular people, because it's truly going to have to be we the people that straighten out the garbage that's happening in our political climate, and to build up our communities back to the way they were 100 plus years ago. Thanks for listening, everybody. Next week we'll have a surprise guest on, so make sure you tune in. Fridays at 5 seem to work best for me personally. I've got meetings all week, so I'm going to go ahead and keep the show Fridays at 5. And if you have a suggestion for a guest, please feel free to connect with me on our Facebook wall. Send me a link, or you can get a hold of me through Twitter. It's at AmomPatriot. And let me know if you're doing a project in your community and you want to come on and talk about it and inspire our listeners, I'm excited to have you on. So everyone have a great day, and we're going to go ahead and sign off a few seconds early, and because I have to run out the door and go to an event to connect with some neighbors in Safety Harbor. So everyone be inspired and connect with your neighbors and get your friends and family involved. This is Adventures of a Mom Patriot Talk Show on Blog Talk Radio. We appreciate all followers and all retweets.